Professor Tabor, how do you look at the basic notion of what a tribe is and what it is not and what it can do or can't, given that tribal system in Afghanistan was a fragmented system and most of the tribes had very different ways of doing things, although maybe the organizing principle was the same, and given all the political, economic, military and social pressures they have confronted during the past 30 years?
The tribal system is a very loose kind of notion, and once one puts together some model of what it actually consists of, you're going to find exceptions all around the place when you actually look and see particular tribal groups in different parts of the country. For example, I mean, I confess I haven't been following the news in the last few days very closely, but I'm aware that they are talking of involving the tribal system in some way, in particular this idea that seemed to have come from the Shinwaris. But the Shinwaris are a large tribal group. And as I understand it, I've never done any research there, as I understand it, they somewhat fit the model of a frontier tribe with strong adherence to Pashtun Wali, being pretty egalitarian. If there is authority, it's shared by a series of elders and through tribal councils and so on. But to then elevate this, the Shinwari model as being, as it were, the universal model of Pashtun tribe would be a big mistake once one moves further south and west in particular, and you come to the Ghilzais and the Dranis, you would find very different forms of organization for all sorts of, you know, historical, ecological and other reasons that one, obviously we haven't got time to go into here. But I suppose my caution really is, one has to be very specific about which kind of tribal manifestations we're talking about, in which locations, and what kinds of functions one's expecting them to perform.
When you were researching among the northern Afghan nomads, among the Durrani Pashtuns, I guess, what then essentially formed a tribal way of life or
a
tribe?
The Durranis, who were a minority in the north, both a tribal and in terms of the Pashtuns as a whole were a minority, still are a minority in the north among the local Uzbeks, Aymaks, and so on. But at the same time, at the time that that I was doing research there in the early 1970s, they had been for a long time a dominant minority because of their links with the rulers and the government in Kabul, who many of whom were from the Durrani, as you know. Their links were fairly remote, and that most of the Pashtuns in the north where I was came from the Isaksai, and some from the Nurzai and the Alizai branches, but they were not the ones, you know, in power among the Durranis in Kabul. Their links were back with their original homelands in Helmand and Kandahar region. But in terms of their tribal organization, they had a very strong ideology of common descent, and they could, or at least the main elders could, trace the standard genealogical connections. But at the same time, it was a highly, in practice, it was there was a highly pragmatic notion of accommodating refugees from elsewhere who, one might know very well that they weren't actually Durrani, but in order to get together a strong political group, you might say, well, okay, you probably were Durrani some time ago, therefore we will intermarry with you and so on, and you belong to us. So the ideology was strong, but not strongly adhered to necessarily in particular circumstances, and I suspect that is always the case. In terms of political structure, within the tribal groups there, one has to say there were strong egalitarian ideals again, but at the same time, very strong tribal khans, which I think has always been true of the Durrani in the south as well. People who would probably, if they were still operating today, be counted as or start operating as quote-unquote warlords. So there was a strong social differentiation between the extremely wealthy, who often owned a lot of land, right the way down to the very poor who probably didn't have any land, but still they were able to claim their identity as Durrani and had some kind of claim to resources and kinship and so on that basis. And when there were, they didn't call them jirgas, they tended to call them marakas, there were councils. It was at a very local level in the villages, and they tended to be dominated by the rich and wealthy rather than by just old men. And at a more, let's say, district and regional level, it would be the Khans who would meet and have these gatherings and not anybody else, no matter what the egalitarian ideals were.